From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. Well, happy Thursday to you, America, wherever you might be across the fruited plain. Hope you're doing great. I am Todd Starnes. We're broadcasting our show from New York City in our coronavirus bunker. And it is, look, we're well insulated from the leftist loons that are wandering around the streets out there. So there's no need to worry, ladies and gentlemen. We practice safe talk here on the Todd Starnes radio program. We have taken all sorts of major precautions to make sure that we do not transmit the coronavirus across the fruited plain. But a lot going on in the news today, and we're going to get to all of it. We have some terrific guests coming up to weigh in on some of the big stories. Our good friend Sarah Carter, you see her all the time on Fox News Channel. Sarah is going to be here. Also, a terrific radio host out of Houston, Texas, just a good friend of mine, Jesse Kelly, who has been sounding the alarm about the economy for several weeks now, and it looks like his predictions and his warnings have turned out to be quite accurate. As a matter of fact, we have been saying the same thing on this radio program since this virus, pandemic started. And the question here is, ladies and gentlemen, is it now time to restart the American economy? At what point do you say, you know what, we get it, there's a virus out there, it could be dangerous to people, but at the end of the day, is it not more dangerous that we go into a Great Depression? Because that's where we're heading, ladies and gentlemen, unless something changes. We're heading to a depression. That's how serious of a situation we're dealing with. So look, the unemployment numbers came out, the jobless numbers came out today, and it's not looking good for America. According to the information we have, they were anticipating that the unemployment rate was going to be about, 3.5 million people. Well, it's 6.6 million people. We're talking about 10 million people filing for unemployment benefits in just the past 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. And those numbers are just going to get worse. No doubt about it. We are living in a very precarious economic state right now. And it's a very simple question to start out the program, and we want to welcome all of our listeners across the fruited plain, especially this week, our listeners in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Waterloo, Iowa, and Little Rock, Arkansas. KXEL in Iowa, and our brand new affiliate in Little Rock, Arkansas, KARN. And I know a lot of these national hosts, they don't like to make a big deal of the affiliates. You know, you get a new affiliate, no, that's good, put a little feather in the cap. That's not what we do around here, because our radio show is like a great big front porch. Just pull up your Cracker Barrel rocking chair, get yourself a mason jar, and pour yourself a glass of sweet tea, and hang out with the nation for the next 3 hours. And we love to celebrate when we have new folks coming on board our program, and all of you folks out in North Carolina listening to us on The Talk Station, and you folks in Georgia listening to us on WDUN, you know that we love to hang out with you guys. And we're going to have a new book coming out soon, next year, and we'll tell you all about that. But we always love traveling around and visiting with our affiliates. So all that to say, welcome KXEL listeners and KARN. Our toll-free number, by the way, is 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. And the question is very simple. Is it time to restart the American economy? Is it time for people to get back to work? Is it time for all of you mom and pop business owners to get back and start selling things from your stores and start selling the blue plate specials at your local diners? Is it time to go ahead and get back to work, America? Because I'm telling you, things are not looking good right now across the fruited plain. Now, yesterday on this program, we had the director of the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Robert Redfield, and he told us, and I was so astounded by the number, I had to go back and ask him again just to make sure I heard the numbers right. He said that 98% of the people who contract coronavirus are able to recover from the virus. This is astounding news, and this should be very reassuring news to many of you who are listening to this program. Maybe you've been watching the mainstream media. Maybe you've been watching cable news, and you've bought into this narrative that people are just dropping all over the country. That is not the fact. And yes, it is tragic that people are dying. It is a terrible tragedy, and it is a tragedy that people are getting sick, but this is what happens. And we've shared these numbers before. On any given day, you have thousands and thousands of Americans who are dying. Could you imagine? Now, just think about this. Could you imagine every single night on the mainstream, you turn on your local news there in Little Rock, Arkansas, and the lead story every single night is 7,000 people died in America. You would be hunkered down in your apocalypse bunker, drinking Tang and eating potted meat. That's what you would be doing. It would terrify anybody. But right now, this is where we are in the mainstream media coverage. They want you to believe we're in the last days, we're in some sort of an apocalypse, and that we should all be living our lives in great fear. And I reject that narrative. And I've been attacked in the mainstream media because I have rejected that narrative. The New York Times coming out and calling me a far-right conspiracy theorist. NBCNews.com says I am a coronavirus denier. As a matter of fact, American Conservative, which is not really a conservative magazine, some guy named Rod Dreher, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but the guy actually accused me of being the leading coronavirus denier. And it's all untrue. But my crime here, ladies and gentlemen, is I've just pointed out to folks that, you know what, maybe, it's not as bad as they're telling us it is. I mean, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad. But maybe they just might be exaggerating just a little bit. You think they might be exaggerating just a smidge? I mean, why do you think it is that CBS News, to illustrate how overrun all of the hospitals in New York City were, why do you think it is that CBS News actually used footage of a hospital in Italy that had been overrun and tried to convince the American people that in fact, was an American hospital? Thank goodness for Gateway Pundit, because they're the ones who exposed the lie. But do you think, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe, just maybe, there could be a little bit of an exaggeration out there? And the reason I ask this, I want to share some new information with you. And again, this is coming from local New York City news agencies and outlets. And their information is buried. They're always burying the lead, right? All right. So we have the big hospital ships that have been sent to New York and Los Angeles. And they told us again that the hospitals have been overwhelmed and overrun. That's what they told us. This is according to Fox 5 New York. The captain of the USNS Comfort is only accepting non-coronavirus patients as per its mission. You want to know how many patients they've seen so far, ladies and gentlemen? They've seen three patients. Three patients. The Pentagon held a briefing about the Navy's hospital ships. Commanding officers of the ships' respective medical staff say they have treated a few dozen non-COVID-19 patients so far. Now, that's from the reporting of Fox 5 in New York. Now, here is another piece of information. And again, this is all buried in the news reporting. They want you to believe this is the apocalypse, that you should be fearing for your life right now. This is from ABC 7 News. Hospitalization rates are slowing. Hospitalizations are doubling in the state every 6 days. Only a couple of days ago, hospitalizations were doubling at the rate of every 4 days. Governor Cuomo called the slowing of hospitalizations good news, but warned the state is still headed towards an apex of hospitalizations. And that may be the case. Do not get me wrong. That may be, in fact, the case. But right now, they're telling us that things are slowing down a little bit. That is good news. So why are they not broadcasting that out on the national media? Why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? Why do you think it is that they want people to believe that every single hospital bed is taken up in New York City when, in fact, it is not? By the way, our good friends over at Samaritan's Purse, the reporting is, at least right now, and again, this information could change, one patient in their field hospital. Mount Sinai Hospital says they've got beds. They're not being overwhelmed right now. Again, we're just putting this information out there. I'm not making this up. This is the local news reporting. So here's my question. Is it time to restart the economy? We're going to be taking your calls. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And as promised, this week on the show, we are giving any caller from KARN or KXEL, you guys are going to get a nice prize package. Just our way of saying, welcome to the front porch. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. And again, the point of this program is to help soften and lower your blood pressure level, because it is crazy out there. But when you actually start looking at the real data and you start looking at the facts, you start to get a picture of what's really going on in the country. And by the way, no one's really asked this question. But why is it we're not seeing the video cameras showing us the overflowing hospital emergency rooms in every hospital in New York City? Why is it that we haven't seen that? We've seen this happen at a couple of hospitals, but not at all of them. And I've been getting reports from many of you around the country, including doctors and nurses, who are telling me that the situation is not as grim in some of their hospitals as is being portrayed in the national media. Now, that is not to downplay, that is not to diminish what's this virus, the anguish or the suffering. But at the same time, we need to get actual facts out there. And real quick, I want to share this information with you. This is from the New York City Health Department. And they have a list of the people who died, the coronavirus deaths from April 1st. This is from April 1st. So this is the most up-to-date information we have. Out of the 1,100 people who have died, the 1,139 people who have died from coronavirus, only 14 of those people had no underlying conditions. Only 14. As a matter of fact, out of the 14 people who had no underlying conditions who died, 9 of those were between the ages of 45 to 64. 3 were over the age of 75. Only 2 were in the 18 to 44-year-old category, and no person up to 17 years old has died of coronavirus here in New York City. Those are the facts. That is the information that we have. 789 of those deaths had an underlying condition: diabetes, lung disease, cancer, heart disease, hypertension, kidney disease, and the list goes on and on and on. And I did ask this question several weeks ago, and I wondered if we were going to get to a point where any person who dies in America, they're going to say it's coronavirus. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Brian, Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to us on the great KARN. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mr. Starnes?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind today, Brian?
you know, you were saying how you really feel that we should start back the economy, and I kind of agree with you in that sense. I'm a healthcare worker myself. I'm a nurse, and I understand why we have some of our protocols in place as far as social distancing and trying to keep non-essential people from working. But like you said, you know, this is going to cause a Great Depression, and at some point we have to start things over. I mean, we have to get back to allowing service workers to get back to work and feed their families.
You know, just think about this, Brian. The folks who make the food that is sold in the supermarkets, sooner or later that food's going to run out. Somebody's got to be out there planting the crops. Somebody's got to be out there preparing the food. Otherwise, those supply chains are gonna crack. And when that happens, it's going to be chaos and anarchy in this country.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I look at it from a concept, you know, that I understand we're trying to keep as many people safe as we possibly can. And so that we don't inundate our healthcare systems and so many people overrun it that we can't take care of them. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, this is a virus and potentially a majority of our population will contract this and the spread of a virus. If you could, people wouldn't get the flu or the cold.
Look, that's a fair point. I want to ask you, though, I mean, you're in the medical field. How are things where you work?
Right now I'm working in a long-term care facility, so I'm taking care of elderly individuals, but the individuals that I know that work in the hospitals right now, they're saying, you know, we're getting a lot of people from Louisiana coming up. So we're getting cases and, you know, we're working through it. I think our state currently right now, last reported, had 7 deaths. So it hasn't been too bad, but, you know, we're still just watching it best as we can.
I hear you, Brian. And look, thank you for calling in. Hang tight, we're gonna get your info. We want to send you a little item in the mail just to say welcome to the neighborhood. Thanks for the call and thanks for listening. Let's go to line 2. Frankie is listening to us on KARN. Frankie, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us today.
Well, it's great to be here, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say something about the Russia plane that came to JF Kennedy Airport yesterday in New York City that brought a bunch of supplies. And I did not hear anything from de Blasio or Cuomo. I did not hear a thank you or an appreciation that Russia had went to great lengths to do that for America. I didn't hear them say thank you. So I'm saying thank you to Russia.
Well, you know what, Frankie? That's a fair thing. And you're right. There was a giant military transport plane landed at JFK, not too far from where I live. And again, this was something that President Trump and Vladimir Putin worked out. And look, we're going to take all the help we can get right now. But you're not going to hear him thank the president, Frankie. And the reason why is that they hate this man. They hate Donald J. Trump. Look, Frankie, hey, thank you for the call. That music means we have to scoot for a news break here. So hang tight. We're going to get your information. We want to send you a prize package as well. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Hang tight, folks. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just a reminder about our all-new live stream. So if you're, you know, in the office, maybe you're, you know, walking around and you can't pick up the show on your radio station, you can listen to us online, ToddStarnes.com. Just click on the Listen Live tab. Also, we have our free podcast. So if you miss a segment of the show, you can download it. It's free of charge. It doesn't cost a penny. And, of course, we also have our our daily newsletter that includes some great stories. We have a terrific team of writers that are covering some of the big stories of the day. This news just coming in from the state of Michigan, where the governor there wants to extend the emergency order, the state of emergency, for another 70 days. This is not surprising. These Democrats out there in the state houses, they are taking full advantage of this crisis to curtail civil liberties. And that is a big concern of our next guest on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Jenna Ellis. She is a senior legal advisor to Team Trump, and she is an attorney for President Trump. Jenna, always great to hear from you.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks so much for having me. This is such an important topic. I know a lot of people are really concerned about.
So let's sort of break this down, because there are so many different attacks happening. Let's start with the Second Amendment, where you've got some lawmakers out there wanting to shut down gun sales and gun stores.
Yeah, so all of these states that are appear to be implementing these stay-at-home orders are basically saying all businesses and all what they consider non-essential workers and businesses, which in most states include or can include things like gun stores, right, or churches or your small business. And then they're only granting certain exemptions and exceptions on a very seemingly arbitrary and capricious basis. And so that's the concern, Todd, because, of course, you know, Americans have certain fundamental rights and liberties, like pursuant to the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. We're used to having gun stores open. And so what's considered essential versus non-essential? And so in a constitutional analysis, of course, the government here has a compelling state interest. And through the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, they do have inherent police power to make sure to regulate the health and safety and welfare of their communities. But how far this is going is really problematic, how different states are implementing these stay-at-home orders, because I can't find any sort of criteria or legitimate, rational contemplation or criteria here where these states are determining completely arbitrarily what businesses are considered essential and not. So, for example, one state has florists open because they consider that essential in this particular context, unfortunately, to funeral homes. And then some states consider other things essential versus non-essential just based on a subjective communication and petition to the government. But
so let me jump in here for a second. Let me jump in here for a second, Jenna. So, for example, in Tipton County, Tennessee, and which is in our listening area, folks listening to us on KWAM radio, in Tipton County, they have a stay-at-home order in place. You're only allowed to stand in your front yard. And if you step out of your front yard, well, then you would be subjected to some sort of a penalty. You would be in violation of the law. Is that constitutional?
I don't think so, because the whole constitutional criteria says that an action or a law or this executive order, which of course is government action, has to be narrowly tailored to advance the government's legitimate compelling interest by the least restrictive means. So here, while we do have a compelling interest, what's the difference between a person, if they're totally by themselves standing in their yard, versus 5 more feet onto the sidewalk or under the roadway? It doesn't make rational sense. And so while I think these states are trying to curtail this this national pandemic potentially to the best of their ability, I think that a lot of them actually are overreaching in the implementation. And going back to your question about gun stores, why would a gun store be considered essential or non-essential comparatively with something like a florist or a grocery store? And what's the difference, Todd, as well with churches when you have, let's take a mega church, for instance, they have a really big building similar to a Walmart or a Lowe's, where we're seeing a lot of instances across the country where people are packed in there. They're not maintaining these social distancing requirements, yet because the store services that are being provided are considered essential by the state and local government, somehow that's fine. Well, the virus doesn't care if you're at a Lowe's or you're at church on Sunday. So this rationale, I think, is very problematic, that we are, as a country, somehow conceding that our government gets to determine what's essential versus non-essential to our society.
You know what really gets me about all of this, Jenna, is how easily that American citizens were, and really how just matter-of-factly they were able to say, you know what, okay, fine, we'll just we'll give up our civil liberties. Yeah, we understand. We're just, you know, do what you got to do. That's just unbelievable to me. We ought to be shouting from the rooftops that they cannot shut down the gun stores. They cannot shut down the church houses.
We should, absolutely. And there are a lot of really good protection of liberty groups out there that are petitioning the government that are actually taking action. I would encourage everyone, if you have a concern, call your local representatives and legislature. I know in my home state of Colorado, a lot of our GOP legislators are taking initiative to contact the governor. And my strongest concern here about the way that we're going out petitioning is two things. One, we shouldn't just ignore the rules. I don't think that's ever a good idea. We need to do this in a legally proper manner of raising our concerns. But secondly, we need to not assume that the government gets to define what's essential versus non-essential. Our petitions to the government should be, hey, implement a standard that all of us can adhere to. And if my business can implement these rules similarly to what you consider an essential business, then I should be able to stay open as well.
All right. Jenna, we're going to have to leave it there. Jenna Ellis from the Trump campaign. Jenna, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, I'm telling you, it blows my mind. I don't understand why people are not shouting from the rooftops about their civil liberties being taken away. And especially in places like Michigan and in Virginia, where we've already seen a massive gun grab happen. It's just unbelievable. And by the way, you want to know why gun stores are essential? You want to know why? Just consider this headline from New York State, where they released 8 registered sex offenders from prison because Governor Andrew Cuomo demanded that 1,100 parole violators from across the state be set free over concerns about coronavirus. That's why every person in America, every law-abiding citizen in America needs to be armed. Got to protect yourself because the Democrats are releasing the felons into the community. And I'm going to get to the illegals in just a few minutes. But I'm telling you, folks, there's something really weird going on here. There was a press conference out in California. Gavin Newsom. Pardon me, I had a corona moment live on radio. Gavin Newsom talking about how this is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity to explore how socialism might be a better thing for this country to do instead of capitalism. So there might be ways for us to explore a more progressive way of life. Never let a crisis go to waste. That's what the Godfather said, Rahm Emanuel. So do not think this is all some sort of make-believe, ladies and gentlemen. There's something more nefarious going on here. All right, let's go to Greensburg, Kentucky. Ryan is on the phone. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. What's on your mind?
I just thought I'd call in, and you told me to call last time, and I was going to give you a ring back. I was a little nervous talking to you last time when I was on the phone, so... But thought I'd call. Here in Greensburg, we're doing fairly well. You still got some people a little scared, a lot of things on their mind, thinking about it. But, able to...
Are the businesses still shut down in Greensburg, Ryan?
We have several businesses that are shut down or in the process of shutting down. But, I mean, there's still people out on the roads and things of that nature.
There's a report out there, Ryan, that's they're saying that all you folks out in the red states, the flyover states, you guys are going to be responsible for spreading the virus because you're not hiding in your homes right now.
I can understand where people would come and think that, so I can completely understand it. I've kind of been in arguments with several people, like, why are you even out? And you see jokes. Apparently, everybody seems to be essential nowadays.
Oh, that's true. Everything except for churches and gun stores.
That's true.
Can't tell me that's political.
I agree with you 100% on, you know, being able to protect yourself and your home. And I think, for sure, he's doing fairly well. I think maybe just because you can do one thing good, he might be a great crisis manager. But we're looking at the other things, doing the big picture. We'll just have to see it down the road.
All right. Ryan, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Baltimore, Maryland. Deidre, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Well, see, here in Baltimore, Maryland, so Governor Hogan put us on lockdown. He did not give us an end date. So I know Trump was saying, you know, the 15-day or the 30-day lockdown, but we don't even have a date where our lockdown is over. And our mayor, Jack Young, they informed us recently, yesterday, that now there will be spy cameras in Baltimore, like little spy camera drones. There was an Ohio company that got it approved, and now these cameras are going to be flying over us. And for what reason? Don't tell me it's for crime, because Baltimore has always had a high crime rate. So if you can't use the cameras on every corner to stop crime, I'm not convinced that these new spy cameras are for crime. It's for us. It's to watch us. It's to police us. And I'm watching America turn into a police state, and people are not using logic and common sense. You know, everything is being driven from fear and panic. And I'm just tired of it. This is going to be socialism. This is coming, like right now it's happening.
It's just unfolding before our very eyes, Deidre. And I don't understand why people are not raising up like yourself. I'm so glad that you're sharing what's happening in your community, because you're right. This is all about tracking, folks. There's a report out of Kansas. The governor of Kansas said they are actually using GPS tracking on cell phones to see where people are moving about the state who have the coronavirus.
Unbelievable. And you know, who's to say that when people do pass away, they died from COVID-19? Because of the infant that just passed away in Connecticut, like what I just talked about, I just watched the news outlets change the verbiage on this case. It went from the six-week-old baby died, complications linked to coronavirus. Then it went to the infant died because of, and then it ended up the infant died after contracting. But in the same report, it says that an autopsy has to be performed because there's no cause of death. So how can you have no cause of death and you need an autopsy, but the baby died because of COVID-19? So when you die, they can literally put on those records whatever they want to. Who is trusting this?
It's a fair question. And Deidre, I'm telling you, they don't want people asking the hard questions. You know, we were asking some very simple questions like, do you guys in the hospitals have the supplies you need? And instead of responding to that, all of a sudden you get called a coronavirus denier. So there is something really nefarious going on. And I say that just based on the responses from people like yourself who are asking very important questions. And we've been asking that question for a while, Deidre. Are we now saying that the only thing that's causing death in America right now is the coronavirus? Is that what they're telling us?
Exactly. My point exactly. When the flu... This year alone, the CDC is estimating 30,000 people. But you couldn't shut down the economy with that, but you're going to shut down the economy with this. And when you look at all of the epidemics and you look at how low the COVID-19 really is, you know there's something sinister going on.
Absolutely. All right, Deidre, great call. Let us know what's happening. Keep us updated there in the Baltimore area. You are our eyes and ears out there. So thanks for the call. Folks, we've got to take a break, and that is the story. That is the story of this radio show. You are the eyes and ears. You are able to report what's happening in your community so other people can get an idea, can get a sense of what this is really all about. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Back to to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This story coming out of Vermont. So, you know, they've got these businesses that they have considered essential and non-essential. And it's interesting that the only essential businesses are the big businesses, right? So if you are a small mom and pop hardware store, well, you don't count. But if you're like one of the big hardware stores, if you're like a Lowe's or a Home Depot, well, that's okay. You guys are essential. So anyway, Vermont's Agency of Commerce and Community Development has ordered all of the big box retailers, folks like the Walmarts and the Targets and the Costco. They are only allowed to sell items that are considered essential by the state. And I'm not making this up. This is just unbelievable. So they have determined in Vermont, the home of communist leader Bernie Sanders, that if you are, let's say, Walmart and, you know, you've got what, the cooking utensils, you can buy the towels or bed sheets or whatever. Those items are now considered non-essential, and they have been ordered to block off those aisles. So you're not allowed to buy any of that merchandise. If you want to get a big tub of peanut butter, well, that's okay. But you can't buy things that the state of Vermont considers to be non-essential. This is, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, where do you draw the line here? At what point do our government leaders, you know, the ones in Washington, D.C., finally step up to the plate and say, hey, what are you morons doing out there? But again, hats off to President Trump, and he's done a terrific job here. There has not been overreach by the federal government. But at some point, you have to wonder, I mean, when will the federal government have to step in and put a stop to this nonsense? I mean, how many of our personal freedoms are they going to take away before the federal government steps in and says, hey, look, we're not going to let you do that anymore? By the way, did you hear about the reporter? This is fascinating. One America News, the only, can I just say this? Can we all agree here on something? One America News, that's pretty much the only conservative news network out there. Maybe Newsmax. And yesterday, the White House Correspondents Association, they expelled One America News. They're no longer, they said they violated the social distancing order. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? So last night, I told President Trump on Twitter, Mr. President, what you need to do is give OAN a permanent seat in the White House press briefing room, preferably the one occupied by little Jimmy Acosta. All right, got to take a break. We're going to be taking your calls coming up. 844-747-8868. Congressman Ted Budd, Sarah Carter coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.